You teach and you play the piano and you sing, boy, that's really good. a complete package right here. I'm so glad to be here. Some of you may not know me. I'm Joe De Leon. I'm from the state office. I work with church planting. Today is a week of prayer. I believe that you're going to be continuing to collect the offering for missions. I want to remind you that prayer is first place. Giving is also important, but more important than giving is your prayers. Pray for the missionaries. Pray as we start new churches in the United States, and specifically in California. In California, we have need of many, 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 many more churches. And as you well know, it's difficult to find leaders. And the greatest need that we have, if somebody were to ask me, what's the greatest need that you have in church planting? Lack of leaders. Lack of leaders. That's our greatest need. So I want to ask you, I think I told you this last time, but if I didn't, this would be a good first time for you. If I told you, it's good repetition, good for repetition. Every day, my alarm goes off at 9:36 in the morning and 9:36 at night. I've got this super-duper iPhone that's got all kinds of gadgets in it that I can do. But it reminds me to pray for laborers. Because in Matthew 9:36, Jesus said, the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers unto his harvest. So you see, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion over them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And the pastor and brother Frank just said earlier that we feel like sheep without a shepherd, you know, in this congregation. So you know what Jesus must have felt? He had compassion over them. And so I want to challenge you to set your alarms. And nobody needs to know. It just bings or dings or whatever it is that you put a sound to that alarm. And it reminds you, pray for missions this morning. Pray for pastors and church workers and leaders this morning and in the evening as well. It's early enough. I mean, it's late enough in the morning. You may be at work. You may be driving, but your alarm goes off. Bing, whisper a short prayer. At night, before you go to bed, you may be watching the news or television, turn it off for a few minutes and pray the Lord would send laborers. That's our greatest need. And as you pray, pray that maybe God will call some of your young people, some of your children to do the work that is so important. Because if in fact it is that important, we must really be willing to sacrifice and to fulfill that call that God has put upon us. This morning is Palm Sunday. Day that we remember Jesus entering into Jerusalem triumphantly and the people saying, bless the Lord, Hosanna, praising God because they recognize him as the Messiah coming. And of course, there were those who did not like that. They didn't like that because it changed their life, their thinking. It wasn't what they were expecting. A lot of times God does things differently, and it's not what we expect. Especially when you're young, you expect, well, I'm going to live my life, I'm going to do all this, and things change. And it kind of throws you into a spin, and you don't know exactly what's going to happen. So Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem threw a lot of people into a spin. They didn't expect this. Especially when the people were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, praise God, you know, this for he has sent the Messiah, you know, this is him. But those were the same people that just a few days later, we're saying, crucify him, crucify him. People are not sure what they believe. But God has intervened, come into the midst of man's history, man's time in this universe, and presented, revealed himself to us as the Son of the Almighty God. So as you live out this day, think about the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. The message this morning is along a little different vein. And I think it's important for us today. As I see so many young adults, young children, and a church without looking for a pastor, without a pastor at the present time, I think the message is appropriate. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5. Chapter 5 of Luke. And I want to read this passage, and then we're going to refer to it again. So do not stand. Just remain seated as I read the passage. You all have it. Chapter 5 of Luke, verses 1 through 11. And I'm reading from the New American Standard translation. So if those of you that might have another might need to follow along and think of maybe a little bit of different way in which it is written. Still says the same thing. Now it came about that while the multitudes were pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. Let's pause a moment here. Let's look at let's look at the scene. Let's kind of back off and look at the scenario right here. Jesus is preaching to the multitudes. And you can imagine how it must have been. The crowds are pressing close to Jesus. Well, you know, you can't speak to too many people if everybody's right there in front of you. So Jesus noticed that there was a couple of boats by the sea there. Sea is like lake. It's a lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. It's not a very big place. And the two boats were right there. And so he's told the owners of the boats, which was one of them was Peter, said, cast out a little bit. Let the boat go out into the water a little bit so I can be away from the crowds and be able to speak to all of them at one time. And so this is the scenario. So Jesus was teaching them. And now verse 3. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him that he would put out a little ways from the land. And he sat down and began to teach the multitudes. And verse 4. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out the net into deep water, let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but at your bidding, at your word, I will let down the nets. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and the nets began to break. And then they signaled to their partners on the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that he fell down at Jesus' feet and said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon, Jesus said to Simon, do not fear, from now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Let's listen to this story this morning with an open heart. Let's listen to the words of Peter, at your word. For you see, Simon and these men had been fishing all night and had caught nothing. They did not know Jesus. This may have been their first encounter with Jesus. They did not know him. They did not know him as God. They a teacher. And in this case, when he says in verse 5, Master, he's not saying Lord or Lord Jesus. He's just simply saying, you're the boss. You're saying it. I'm going to do it because you said. Here's men with experience had been fishing all night, and there was no fish to catch. And now it's in the morning, not a time to fish. And he says, let's go fishing. Let down your nets. Now, if you read the King James version of this, I'm not sure how the Chinese reads, but I do know that the King James version, which has been translated from what we call the Textus Receptus, the text that was received, it uses an interesting combination of words here. Number one, it says, Jesus said, let down your nets, plural. And Simon said, I will let down the net, singular. And then further on down, it says, and the net broke. I understand sometimes it was breaking, it was tearing. No, it just ripped apart. That's why they needed the help from the others. It was broken, the net was broken. They couldn't pull it in, it was going to ripped completely apart. Now, the later text, the Byzantine text, the other text that we receive, that we have in the Greek, do not make this distinction. But I would like to take the Greek text that we have in the King James and make an emphasis on this. Obeying the word of God, obeying the command of Jesus for your life and for my life, are we ready to obey to the fullest extent? Or are we going to be the minimalist and obey as minimal, as little as we can? It's kind of like when your parents say, clean up your room. And what you do is you kick stuff under the bed, in the closet, shut the doors. That's really not what they meant, right? But it looks okay. That's minimal. You didn't vacuum, clean the windows, the mirrors, all that kind of stuff. You just make it look pretty on the outside. And sometimes that's what happens in our lives as Christians. We minimize the command of Christ and make it as little as possible. Yeah, I went to church Sunday, but did you read the Bible during the day, during the week? Did you pray? Did you spend time with Jesus? Did you grow any? Did you share the gospel during the week? I went to church. That's minimum. Or others that tell me when we talk about the tithe. Somebody, when I was a pastor, you talk, you know, the Bible says we are to tithe. Bring the tithes into the storehouse. And some people would say, well, should I bring the tithe of the gross or of the net? You know, always, you know, they always want an excuse to give less. They came to Jesus, which is the greatest commandment. We're tired of following all that. You know, the Jews had hundreds of commandments. Hundreds of laws that they had. And the Jews wanted to find out, come to Jesus, which is the greatest, which is the most important one? Instead of trying to do all these things, which is the most important? And of course, what Jesus said to them was even greater than what the Jews had put together. Do you know how to follow instructions? If you remember, the prophet Isaiah was approached by a woman, a widow woman whose husband had died, and the creditors, the people who her husband owed money to, had come to her and were going to take her children slaves to pay for the debt that the father had left. In today's world, you don't go. I mean, if your parents die without in debt, that's their problem. That's the debtor's problem, not yours. You don't have to pay for it. But in that world, you pay for it. And so she came to the prophet and said, look, I'm having this problem. Can you help me? And the prophet says, what do you have at home? And she said, just a container of oil. And so the command to her was, if you look with me in 2 Kings 5:10, 2 Kings 5:10 through 14. Elijah sent out a message. No, that's not it. I'm sorry. I took off on one story. Let me tell it to you by memory. And the prophet said, okay, here's what you do. You go out to your neighbors and borrow containers, pots, pans, whatever you can get, empty ones. Not a few, and go into your house, close the door, and pour the oil. And so she did, borrowed containers and poured oil. Begin to pour oil. She poured oil in every container that she had. And when the last one came and it was full, the oil stopped. Now, what was the command or the instructions that the prophet gave her? Was to go and get containers, right? No, that was half of the command. Half of the instructions. Go get containers, not a few. In other words, don't just get a handful of them. Get a lot of them. And I would suppose that if she had gotten the biggest container in town, biggest barrel she could find, she would have filled them with the oil. So she went back to the prophet and says, what do I do? It's all full. And he says, well, it's easy. Sell the oil, pay your debt, and live on the rest. You see, if she had just gotten a few containers, she would have paid for her debt only and been starving. A lot of times, our obedience to our Lord the way we obey our Lord will result in our happiness if we obey full-heartedly. But a lot of times we obey on the minimum side. And we seem to always be struggling because we've got one foot in the world, in the things of the world, and one foot in the church, in the things of God. And we're torn between the two. We can't be in the world because we know it's wrong. And we can't be in the Lord completely, 100%, because we want to do some things that are in the world. We're tempted. And so we're struggling. So we're halfway. We might say that you're saved. Might, because you don't really know, because you're not fully committed. And so you're miserable. Can't be happy in the world because you know it's wrong. Can't be happy in the church and the Lord's things because you know you're not there all totally because you've got a desire for the things of the world. And so it's difficult. When we obey our Lord, as Jesus said, cast out, actually let down your nets. And another thing about the text, Jesus said let down your nets because there were two boats. And it's not likely that they had many nets in one boat. It's more likely, because it wasn't a casting net, because the word he uses here is not to cast out the net like you would a casting net, but it's let down the net. And a casting net, you don't let it down, you throw it out. So this was more like a trawler's net, a large net. And you wouldn't have too many large nets. These little boats were not but 25, 30 feet long and about 7, 8 feet wide and about, about this deep, maybe even less, about 36, 48 inches deep. So they were not very big boats. It's not big nets. But it was one net. And so they were out there struggling, bringing this one in, and they had to yell out, come help us with this catch. So the others got committed and came in and helped. And they nearly got so many fish that could sink both boats. We want to see God's working. As a church, do we want to see God bringing the right pastor to reach not just our friends and family, but to make an impact on the community around us? We want to see God use this church to address the issues of the society around us. Then we must be full-heartedly obeying him. Wholeheartedly obeying him so that we can receive the blessing of God. If he says, let down your nets, make sure we let down the nets, not just the minimum amount, but all of them. For God is about to bless. You know, we work very hard sometimes. But if God is not in it, it becomes nothing. Have you ever wondered sometimes why we don't have success in the things we attempt? Have you ever wondered why sometimes we work very hard and it just seems like we're just spinning our wheels? Is it possible that we're not listening to what God said for us to do? I'm amazed. Listen, I'm in church planting. But I am so amazed of how many seminars in church planting there is in the United States and around the world. So many training opportunities, seminaries. We have more seminaries today than we've ever had. We have more students in seminaries today than we've had in history. And yet we can't find enough pastors. It seems like we're training and training and training, and we're doing a lot of things that are not very successful because we go to conferences, whether it's Rick Warren or whether it's others, and we hear what they did, and we listen to what they've done, and we try to go back and imitate what they did. We try to learn from them and do what they did, and we're never listening to God. And what is he telling me? I don't know your life, but God does. I don't know what you're going to be in the future, where you're going to be in the future, but God does. Don't listen to me and my experience. Listen to God, for he has instructions for you. And we believe in the priesthood of the believer. We believe that you don't need a preacher or a prophet or a pastor or a priest to go to God. You can go directly to God through Jesus Christ, who is your Savior. Talk to him. He will instruct you about your life and about what you must do. Unfortunately, we're listening a lot to what men have to say and very little to what God has to say. How many of you believe everything that's in the newspaper? How many of you read the newspaper, listen to the news on television? We all do, don't we? We spend time there. How many, you believe everything you hear? You believe everything you read? Of course not, right? How many of you believe everything that's in the book? You believe it? Everything? And somebody said from cover to cover, from, you know, in Spanish we talk from leather to leather, you know, from one piece to the other, you know? How come is it that we spend less time reading the Bible than we do reading the newspaper? We believe everything that's here. We don't believe everything that's in the newspaper. We spend more time reading and listening to the news, which we don't believe, than reading the Bible. We spend more time listening to some politician talk about his politics than we read about what Jesus Christ says for our lives. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Peter, push out a little bit. Go out into the water. Let down your net. Let down your nets for a big catch. The word. Peter says, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And listen, he was an experienced fisherman. I don't understand it. And you know, life sometimes is confusing. Sometimes what God calls us to do is very confusing. Let me give you an example. My wife and I, in 1990, no, actually 1984, 85, 83, 84, we went to Argentina to do some mission work. My brother's a missionary over there, so we went to Argentina. You know what? And we thought, my wife and I said, you know what? We ought to be missionaries. We ought to go on the mission field. We'll go to Mexico. I speak Spanish well. To Argentina, they speak Spanish over there. Any place in South America, Central America, I know the culture, I know the language. It's not a big deal. We'll go over there. So we said, yeah, we'll do that. We'll wait till about 5 years before retirement, and we'll go over there. That was in 1980-something, you know. 1990, we had the privilege of going to Russia on a vision tour, a mission tour. And we went over there, and of course, they were in bad shape. The Russian country was just so bad. I mean, they were just, it was just bad. Poor, hopeless, helpless. And it was just kind of bad. It was discouraging, actually. And kiddingly, I said to my wife, I said, you know what? This language is easy. Anybody can learn. 3 months, pick up this Russian easy. If any of you know what Russian is, it's not that easy, you know. That was in 1990. In 1992, somewhere around March, January, February, March of 92, there was in the newspaper that we have from the California Southern Baptist that said, urgent need, green alert, we need missionaries to Russia. I read that, and the Lord touched my heart and said, man, you need to go. And I said, huh? We'd already been there. I didn't know the language. I didn't know anything about Russian. I made a sly remark, but that I was just kidding. And I said, man, the Lord seems to be touching my heart. So I took the article and gave it to my wife and went home and said, Gloria, why don't you read this? She read it and she says, you know what? We need to go. So we felt like the Lord was calling us to go. No reason for me to think. I mean, I wanted to go to Argentina, to Mexico, some southern Spanish-speaking country. I don't need to learn another language. I don't even know anything. I knew a couple of Russians, and they only spoke English and Spanish. You know, I didn't speak Russian with them. People would ask me, how come you're going over there? Why don't you go to South American country? What are you doing over there? And I said, I don't know. Talk to God. Inconvenient? Sure, it was inconvenient. My son was 18. My daughter was 19. And we said, children, we're leaving. Don't burn the house. I went to the church. God called us. They say, what? Oh, they started crying. They started, oh, okay. Finally, they said, God says we ought to give the best, so you go. I was pleased that they considered me the best. Maybe they're going to get rid of me. I don't know, but I said, please take care of my children while I'm gone. So we went. A few months later, we find ourselves in Russia. Cold? I don't even go to the mountains to see the snow here in California. I don't like it cold. I don't go to where it's cold. We left over here. I had a short sleeve shirt on. I had a London fog, fur-lined raincoat. That was my coat. I got there and I was so cold. We didn't know enough Russian to say, I want to buy bread. Я хочу купить хлеба. We didn't know how to do that. I needed to lose weight and I lost it. And we started. But God blessed. Over 300 churches started during our period there. People saved. Churches starting churches. God used us so uniquely. Somebody asked me, how are you going to start churches? You don't even know the language. I said, I don't know. You need to talk to God about that. By God's grace, it wasn't 3 months. It was a few more months. We picked up enough Russian. We didn't need an interpreter. By the first year, I was already preaching or teaching in Russian. God was gracious. But the point I'm trying to say is that if we don't obey God, even sometimes it's difficult to believe that this could be true, that what he asked us to do is real. Peter, get out in the water. Let down your nets for a big catch. Lord, are you crazy? We've been over there. There's nothing to catch, and you don't fish in the mornings. You fish in the evenings, at night. But you said so, so we're going. What a surprise. Would have been better if he had sent both boats out there. Would have had less trouble. Folks, young people, God has a plan for your life. It's not a counselor at school who's going to help you. They're okay. But how do they know anything about God and about your relationship to him? It's going to be Jesus Christ himself who's going to speak to your heart. I was 14 years old. I was a shy person. Very shy. In fact, when I was in the fourth grade, you know, I went to a school that spoke all English. The teacher didn't speak any Spanish. And you guys have an easier, you know, Chang, Chung, those are easy to pronounce. But you get to De Leon, or my name is Jose Maria De Leon Saldivar. Teacher would say, Joe Deli what? And I was so embarrassed. I could not tell. I started crying. Fourth grade. I was shy. And at 14 years old, God says, I want you to be a preacher. I thought, you must be kidding. I can't talk in public. I'm shy. I'd start to cry. You're going to be a preacher. At your word, went to the church, went to the front of the church, told the pastor, God called me into special service to be a preacher. He looked at me, put his hand on my head, and says, okay. A year later, they give us a piece of paper that says, license to preach. Good Baptist church. License to preach. I had a piece of paper that said I had license to preach. In other words, the church said, this is a good young man. Let him preach. See, get his experience. Had a friend who would take us to the Union Rescue Mission in Houston, Texas, where the drunks are. And they would let him in to the auditorium, shut the door, start the service. After that, they could eat. They had to be in the service for a captive audience. They didn't have a choice. 15 years old, I started preaching. And the Lord helped, the Lord blessed.
But it was God's doing. God wants to talk to you about your life. Whether you're young or whether you're old, it doesn't make any difference. God has a plan for your life, and you are to be obedient to him. Master, at your word, I will let down the nets. Will you do that? It's easy to find ourselves in a situation where we feel like we know more than God. It's easy for us to think that maybe somebody else can guide us. Because after all, God didn't send me a letter. Sometimes when God asks us to do, like when we went to Russia, I said, God, can you send me a telegram? In those days, there were not emails, but there were faxes. Can you send me a fax, Lord? I want to see something in black and white in writing. None of this, your spirit speaks to my spirit. It's hard. That requires faith. That requires faith. And we live in a society that we text each other so quickly, yes, no, this, that. We write stuff and everything is written in black and white and we see it. This is a realm in which we don't operate in, of knowing that God has laid his hand on me, knowing that God has called me to do this. Is it possible that God may be calling you to make a change in your life? Talked to a young lady this morning. I was buying some coffee, and she had a scar in her hand. I thought she'd bitten her hand because it was kind of like a mouth bite. And I looked at her and I said, Mija, what happened there? She's about 21, 22 years old. And I said, what happened there? She said, oh, this is an accident. I don't even remember. I said, well, I thought you had bitten yourself. And she says, no, she says, it's an accident that required a lot of gin. I said, what do you mean? Well, I was wild. Turned 20 years old, decided I'd go get drunk and try to live that lifestyle. And I said, didn't pay, did it? No, it didn't. You see, the devil wants to draw you to his way. He wants to beguile you. You know what the word beguile means? It's kind of draw you. You know what bling is? What's bling? Okay, that's what the ones that attract you. Like what you do with fish, you know, you catch fish with bling. That's what it is, basically, a lure. And the devil will put out a lure for you. Hey, how about this party life? How about this kind of lifestyle? Get to drive a new car. Get to live in a nice house. Get to have a fine job. Get to do all this. Wear nice clothes. Be respected by the community. And on, the devil hangs these things out for you to be distracted from the call that God has put on your life. And church, you're looking for a pastor. Do not be distracted by the bling that the devil gives out. The devil wants to lure you into doing things that may be not God's will. To be satisfied with the minimal. Why don't you give him the maximum? Give him the maximum. Would you do that this morning? Can you commit yourself and say, Lord, here I am. I hear your word. Or maybe you haven't heard the word of God. Maybe you don't know what God wants you to do. Would you make a decision this morning by saying, I'm going to find out what he wants me to do. I'm going to find out. I'm going to call on the Lord. And I want my friends to call on the Lord. I want the church to call on the Lord for me. Young people, you're at a point right now in your life when you got your whole life in front of you and everything is right there. And what are you going to do? Scary, because you don't want to make a mistake. That's what you need, brothers and sisters, to be praying for you and for the needs that you might have, for the direction that God's going to lead you, that you may be able to understand that. And church, get together and pray constantly for that pulpit committee, for the pastor search committee. Spend time in prayer and fasting and prayer, for God will answer your prayers. God will direct them and guide them. And when God brings a pastor that he should bring here, that he has prepared for you, when you go wholeheartedly toward God's will, you'll see his blessing. It'll be so great you're not going to have room to contain it in this building. Your net's too small. Better get bigger nets. Because when you're going to do God's will, it'll be good. It'll be good. God did not call us to fail. And God doesn't want you to fail. He wants you to be successful. Would you be successful? In a moment, we're going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to come forward. If you need the congregation to pray for you, want me to pray for you, I'll be glad to pray for you. That God would speak to your hearts. Maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've stood out and you say, wait a minute, I don't know if I'm committed to Jesus Christ or not. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Are you sure of that? Talked to a person not long ago, a few days ago. I asked this person, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? I don't know, wherever God wants to send me. Spoken like a real Calvinist. Whatever God wants to do. No idea. I said, well, you know God wants you to be saved. Jesus came that whoever will call upon his name shall be saved. Would you call on his name? Would you believe on him that you may have eternal life? Well, this person said yes. Yes. What a joy. What a joy this person had when they finally realized that God really loved them enough to take them to heaven with him if they would commit to Jesus. And this person already had a desire to follow Jesus. It was just that they didn't understand it all. But today, are you committed to Jesus Christ? If not, this is a good day for you to make that commitment. Ask Jesus to come into your heart, to come into your life and change you, and then guide your direction, guide your life. Would you do that this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, as we bow our heads and as we pray this morning, we want to be like Peter. We want to hear your word, your command. But more than Peter, Father, we want to obey you wholeheartedly. We want to go 100%. So, Father, speak to us this morning. Speak to our hearts. Speak to the hearts of this church, Father, and those that lead the church, Father, that they would be ready to follow you at your word. I pray for these young people, Father, that you would put your hand upon them and guide their lives. Speak to their hearts, Father. It is from these, Lord, that you will take your servants to lead churches, to start churches. In whatever group, with whatever language, Lord, you have given them facility with, Father. Bless them, Lord, with a desire, with a hungering and thirsting after you, Father. And Lord Jesus, send laborers, for the fields are white unto harvest, as you've said. And we call upon you, Lord of the harvest, send laborers. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we sing the invitation, I want to ask you to come forward. We're going to sing a song. We're going to sing a verse, maybe two verses, maybe three verses, and I'll wait for you. Shall we stand? Thank you.
to obey him. As we sing the next stanza, come, I'll pray with you. Promise that it would not come back void. Pray that you interpret your word to our lives.